on the series that we have been on, Not Iscariot. And we, last week, began looking at an aspect of Judas' life that we can clearly say that he did not handle well. And it would do us well to learn from him so that we do not behave like Judas. Because we have looked at the fact that though he was a follower of Christ, numbered among the disciples, that he allowed Satan in. That though he had a bishopric, he chose Christ, or he chose money rather, over Christ. We saw that even though he was in the midst of some of the greatest men in the world, in that they carried forward the gospel of Jesus Christ, though he associated with Christ for many years, he appears, it appears as if he did not examine himself. And so the devil got the better of him. So we can say that there are many things that we should not do the way Judas did. And last week we began looking at the fact that he did not manage pain and disappointment well. And it would do us well to not follow that example. And even though we have highlighted pain and disappointment, and we looked at some situations where other persons like Judas took their lives, and we saw in that there's always this sense of helplessness, hopelessness, a sense of being overwhelmed by a situation that confronts us. And you know, when I shared and when I started to prepare this lesson, it was just one of many points. But since then, we would have heard in the media persons killing themselves. And, you know, just in recent days, you know, I would have even learned that person, you know, that I have at some point interacted with has gone that route. And that hurts. And this shows that the reality of the shortcomings of this world is real. And though we might not be at that place, and even though we might never reach that point where we even consider, and we ought not to, that's the essence of the lesson. But if this is the point where we get to that point where we want to take our lives, then I would want to say to us that there are many points along that continuum. And we all at times feel tried. We all at times feel overwhelmed. But we need not be hopeless. And though we are talking about pain and disappointment, I'd want to throw in this mix that we need to manage success. Because sometimes that's how the devil comes in. So we need to learn and to appreciate that we should also manage our successes. That we do not get to a point where we ever start feeling self-sufficient. Where we don't start believing that it is the material things of this life that sustains us. That we recognize that we must always depend on the Almighty God. You know, when Jesus Christ, I've stepped away from my outline. Jesus Christ, when he gave and spoke of the beautiful attitudes that we should engender. You know, one of them that he mentioned. In fact, he starts with that. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And that itself speaks, not that God wants us to be poor. No, that's not his point. But he wants us to recognize that we should be poor in spirit, meaning we recognize that our being is one that depends on Almighty God. It is not the success that I have in this arena. It is not the success that I have in the material things, but it is a realization that even if I'm poor, even if I am wealthy, that I depend on the Almighty God. And so our attitude towards our material things are also important. And it is important that we learn to manage it. That we do not depend on that. So that when that is taken away, then we are empty, lost, and do not know where we are or where we are going. But in everything, let us acknowledge God. Let us recognize that he is our rock and our anchor. But here it is that Judas Iscariot, that he had great disappointment. He was pained, as we saw in the reading earlier in Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 to 5. That when he realized that his own action was leading to the death of Jesus the Christ, that though he repented and tried to make restitution, he could not hold back what was already in train. Couldn't hold it back, couldn't reel it in. And in this period, he was overwhelmed. He felt like so many, hopeless. He had a lost hope. But we have been looking at the fact that there is hope in God. That in God we can place our trust. As we saw in Isaiah and Jeremiah last week, that they have told us that God is a present help. He provides strength. We need not fear. He has thoughts of us, thoughts that we will prosper. He has plans for us, plans that we have expectation, that we have a future. So no matter how overwhelmed the situation may be, we want to recognize that God has expectations for us. And for those of us who are children of God, let us always be conscious that God has an expectation of us that we work in his kingdom, that he has work for us to do. Sometimes we might be feeling like nothing is happening, that we are just going through the motions. And that may be because we are not embracing what God has in store for us, because we have a mission. We ought to be evangelizing. We ought to be encouraging one another. It's not about self. We are going to see this coming out when we examine another character. Because sometimes, because we are so self-centered, because it's all about me and I and what I want, and we are not out there for others, then we feel the sense of helplessness and emptiness. For the lesson today, we want to focus, or we'll be spending most of the time looking at a character, David. Yes, we have looked at Isaiah, a great prophet. Jeremiah, another great prophet. Two of the major prophets. But David, I think we can relate to David. You know, God says of David, you know, you're a man after my own heart. And yet when we look at David, we don't see perfection. And I think that's reassuring. You know, God wise. This great man David, he was not perfect. And can't we see ourselves in that? You know, come on, I'm in my suit and you all dressed up and look pretty. And we look on and say, boy, Christianity just radiating through these, my brothers and sisters, you know, things are perfect. But what battles are we fighting? We all have various challenges. Don't feel any way when you have challenges. But what I also want to encourage each of us to do is to introspect. And I want us to realize that even though at points we are overwhelmed, we are saddened, and you know, the clinical person might say using the word depressed is not proper. But we may even be feeling a little depressed and stressed. I think I prefer to stay with stress. But it is important that we do not stay there and allow it to overcome us, because that's where the danger comes in. And I don't know why I'm moving away from my lesson plan so much, and then I'm going to run into a problem later, but let me do it. Let me say to us that this thing called depression, let us not allow the stigma of our society to cause us not to treat with it properly. Depression is an illness. And it is something that if you find that you are depressed continually, do not ignore it. Seek help. Yes, I will from here encourage you to look to Scripture. And guess what? There is no better remedy than looking to the Word of God for healing. But sometimes you need a little more help than the Scripture. So, if it is that to get that little lift, you need to take the medication that the doctor says, take the medication. Just like if your hand hurt you. And yes, you can use some natural methods, and yes, you can eat some right things, and your body will heal itself. But sometimes we are at a crisis, and it is important that we get a little help to carry us over the bump so that we can even resonate in the Word of God, because depression is a serious thing. Depression, if we do not treat with it properly, can cause us not to even want to read the Scripture. And when you read Scripture, it's not doing anything for you. So you can get help. Treat it like an illness, because God expects us to go to help. You know, take a little while for the stomach's sake and for your oft infirmities. So there are times when you need medicine to help you through. And every time I make reference to that passage, I just feel like I have to fix it up a little. And God's word don't really need any fix up, you know. But, you know, because people go to the other extreme. So we don't want to say, boy, my infirmities are very oft. Life's stressful. Every day I need a little wine for the stomach's sake. So they become drunkards and dependent on alcohol. That's not what the passage is saying. But what it is saying is that sometimes we need medicinal help. But coming back to the lesson, we want to spend some time looking at David. And he wrote many psalms. And if time will allow us, we want to look at two of them today. In Psalm 55. Psalm 55. If we pick up from verse 1 and read quickly for me. Psalm 55 and verse 1. You know, what we are saying here is that sometimes we have trying times. Read. Give ear.
Give ear to my prayer, O God.
Read.
And hide not thyself.
Do not hide thyself from my supplication.
Attend unto me.
Attend unto me.
And hear me.
And hear me.
I mourn in my complaint.
I mourn in my complaint.
And make a noise.
And make a noise.
Because of the voice of the enemy.
What I want us to start seeing here is a man, David. And he is going through some turmoil. Don't feel any way when we feel a turmoil. That's how this life is. But it goes on. Read.
Because of the voice of the enemy. Because of the oppression of the wicked.
Because of the wicked.
For they cast iniquity upon me.
So persons will cast iniquity and wrath. They will hate us.
My heart is sore.
My heart is sore pained within me.
And the terrors of death.
And the terrors of death.
Are falling upon me.
Are falling upon me. So we can sometimes relate to this type of situation. And you know, we are seeing here that David is saying, you know, look at it. I am feeling this way because of mine enemies. Yes, the persons around us will hit at us and will cause us to feel down, cause us to feel overwhelmed by time because why this wickedness? Why am I hated? But you know, when we jump down to verse 12, for time's sake, I'm jumping down. Well, pick up at verse 11.
Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets.
So wickedness is sometimes around us, and deceit and guile. And then David makes a profound statement. He says,
For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it.
He's saying, if it was an enemy, you know, I watched a play once called Frenemy. If it was an enemy, then I could deal with it easy because they are my enemies. But sometimes it's persons close to us that disappoints us. Amen. And so it says, if it was an enemy, then I could have
borne it.
Borne it. Read.
Neither was it
he
that hated me.
That hated me.
That did magnify
that himself. That did magnify himself against me.
Then I would have hid myself from
then
him.
Then I would have hid myself from him. And so sometimes in life we get to a point where we can identify who is against us. We can recognize that these persons over here are not for me. And so I can't really take for myself. But I can hide. I can associate less. And so it's almost like we can handle it. But read on.
But it was thou. A man, my equal.
My peer, my friend.
My guide.
Sometimes what gets to us, it is somebody who I looked up to, that I thought was for me and was a good guide for me. Sometimes, read on, my acquaintance. So we are in a situation where sometimes what is challenging to us and what gets to our inner challenge is that it is persons who we expect better from, who we think is my rock and who will hold me up, my spouse. We hold up our parents, and we should. A close friend and confidant that I went and I told everything that I was going through, and instead of being my help, they tore me down. They went ahead and started telling everybody else my business. And this tears you up. So there are so many things. So yes, this life can get rough with the wickedness of our enemies. But it becomes harder when it is persons close to us. And this is why sometimes persons go into a deep hole that is so hard to climb out of, because there was such great dependence on somebody close to them. You know, I know that different ones of us can be thinking and relating to situations that have brought us to points of great disappointment, you know, because of friends. But let us remember why we are here. It is one thing to be hurt because of the enemy. It is also another thing to be hurt because of those close to us, our inner circle. But let's remember Judas. Judas was hurt because of what he himself did. The greatest of disappointments are the disappointments that we have in ourselves. And it is more commonplace than many of us would dare to think, because we have this height that we want to be. We have this expectation of self that we want to sustain and attain and maintain. But the devil is at work. That which I would, I do not. That which I would not, that I do. That turmoil, that fight that we have as we go through life. But again, we must realize that we need not be hopeless, because there is hope in God. You know, David, you know, I jumped it, but let's go back there. when he pick up at verse 5. Fearfulness
and trembling
are
come upon me.
Whether it is that this is so because of enemy, friend, or self, here was his situation. Tremblings come upon me.
And horror hath overwhelmed
me. We are often overwhelmed. Read on.
And I, oh, that I had wings like a dove.
And David cried out and said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. You wish you could fly. You know, and if he had wings like a dove, what would he do? Then I would fly away and be at rest. Oh boy. This is not a call to take our lives. This is not a cry to come out of this life. In fact, you know, I was reading something some months ago, you know, where the persons were criticizing Christianity. To say, you know, Christianity is one of the biggest proponents towards suicide. And it caught my attention. I said, how could they say that? And then they made reference to some of the songs, you know, that we sing, you know. And this was one of them, you know. If I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and be at rest. Oh, I want to go to heaven and rest. I'm tired of staying down here. Heaven is better than this. Oh, what a joy and bliss. Brother Mary, you sang one of them today. Precious Lord, hold my hand. Lead me on. I am tired. But you know, these songs are not cries of suicidal thoughts. They recognize that heaven is better than this. That heaven is a place of joy and bliss. Yes, it does recognize that. And that there are times when, because of the turmoil of this world, we need a quiet place. And heaven is better. But there's work for us to do. It is for us to help to make this place better. To help others to escape. You know, we will make reference to Paul. He had that type of turmoil. But he made a profound statement that if time allows us, we'll examine it closer. But here it is that David is saying, I wish I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and be at rest. But you know, even though we don't have physical wings, there are times when we need to just take away ourselves and be at a quiet place with God. A place quiet and where we can reflect on Him and resuscitate ourselves. Think devotion with Him. Away from the crowd. But let me go off on a little tangent. This is in my outline. We wish we had wings like a dove so that we could fly away. And I remember a young poet that wrote a poem about nature's book. And he depicted in that the idea of having wings, or could be like a bird and soar high. But the truth is, we do not have wings. Well, you know, there's an interesting concept, you know, even in respect to God. Because God is not physical. But we have seen in Scripture about the hands of God, the ears of God, the face of God. And you know, one of the things that we have heard of, we have heard about the wings of God. And though when we think about if we had wings, then we could fly. In reference to God's wings, he doesn't seek to fly. Definitely not to fly away. But to protect us. To cover us. You know, in Psalm 91 and verse 4, and you can hold Psalm 61 and verse 4, those two psalms, you know, makes the depiction of God and wings. And it says in verse 4 of Psalm 91,
he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth.
You know what? Let's take it from the top. Verse 1. He that
dwelleth
in the secret place of the Most High
shall abide
under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, we talk about the secret place. Yeah, be at rest. Find a quiet place. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is
my refuge
and my fortress.
My God.
That place where I can find security. My strong place that I find when I go to the Lord. My God, in him will I trust. Read on.
My God, in him will I trust.
Read.
Surely he shall deliver thee
from the snare of the fowler
and from the noisy pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers and under his wings
shalt thou trust.
His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
In that picture of God's wings is the story, is the truth, is the understanding, brethren, that he will protect us. Any of you have birds, fowls? Have you seen them lay their chicks, well, lay the eggs and the chicks hatch? No matter what is happening around, they are protected because they are under the wings of the hen. And so God wants to protect us. He is our wings. Under the covert of his wings, he will protect us. Let us not stray from God in our crisis time. Because sometimes that's what we do. And that's when we get into all sorts of troubles and tragedy. Let's jump across to 61 and verse 4.
I will abide in thy tabernacle.
All right, let's do it like how we did 91. Start from the top.
Hear my cry, O God.
Hear my cry,
O God.
O God.
Attend unto my prayer.
Can we relate? Sometimes when we are going through challenges, we just need to call upon the Almighty God. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed. You see that overwhelming coming again? And I'm saying that the overwhelming might not get to the point where we want to take our lives, but sometimes we are overwhelmed to the point where we're willing to give up our Christianity. For what? I don't know.
Lead me to the rock.
Lead me to the rock.
That is higher than
that I. That is higher than I. So when we feel overwhelmed, let us look to God. Let us look to Jesus Christ. He is indeed the author and the finisher of our faith. Why do you want to give up? He is the beginner and he is the end. Why you want to stop in the middle of the race? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me.
And a strong tower. From the enemy.
I will abide in thy tabernacle forever.
I will trust in the covert of thy wings.
I will trust in the covert of thy wings. You remember why I came here? We are saying that depiction of wings, of God's wing, not physical wings, God not flying around like that. But in the depiction of wings, it's that we can go to him for comfort. We can go to him as our strong tower because he's going to protect us under the cover, the protection of his wings. So let's come back to Psalm 55, because we often want to run away, but because it's David that I just want to focus back on David, because even though we have painted this picture of being overwhelmed, that we have challenges. I sort of like how David brings everything to a conclusion. You know, let's remember, you know, he's there and he's saying, I am feeling overwhelmed like this. He reflects and he says, the enemies. He reflects and he says, those close to me. And we took it a little further. We're saying, even when it's me. But then listen to verse 22 of Psalm 55.
Cast thy burdens upon the Lord. And he shall sustain thee.
Cast your burdens on the Lord. What is burdening us? What is getting to us? What is causing us to be sapped of our spiritual energy? What is causing us to even want to give up on life? David, the man after God's own heart, he says, cast your burden upon the Lord. And you know, we don't cast it on him as one who is not able to help. He says, cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall
sustain thee.
We have an assurance that he will be able to sustain us. He'll be able to keep us. He'll be able to keep us holding on. He shall, not may, but he shall sustain us. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Keep on Jesus Christ. Look to the Lord, because he will sustain us. It may feel overwhelmed. You may want to give up. But rest assured that the Almighty God will sustain us. He will. You know, but David said something else. You know, another discourse in Psalm 34 that's quite aligned to what he echoed in 55. And as we strive to bring the lesson to a close, we want to just look at some of the things that he said. Pick up at verse 17.
The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth.
The righteous cry. Do we have reason to cry sometimes? Yes. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears. But not only does he hear, but he does more than that. Let's start again. The righteous cry.
And the Lord heareth.
And the Lord heareth.
And delivereth them.
And delivereth them.
Out of all their troubles.
Out of all their troubles.
Lord is nigh unto them.
The Lord is nigh
unto them.
Unto them.
That are of a broken
heart. That are of a broken heart. And so I want us to again get the picture. There are times when our spirits cry. There are times when we are off a broken heart. But we have the assurance from the Almighty God through inspiration that when the righteous cry, the Lord hears. When we are of a broken heart, the Lord hears. But not only does he hear, but he also delivers. Did he say that? That the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. Out of all their troubles. And so we do not need to think that God is a selective God. That he is only able to help us through some of our troubles. But we have a God who is able to help us through all our troubles. No matter how big it look. No matter how small it look. Because sometimes we get it mixed up like that. You know? We want to tackle the big things. Friend of mine, Godfrey Fisher, Eddie Fisher. You know, we want to be like Daniel in the lion's den. Yeah. We want to be like the three boys to be thrown in the furnace. But in the little things, we become cowards. But big things and small things, big trouble and small troubles, God can help us. And he wants to deliver us from all our troubles. Not only is it that he hears and delivers, but we are told, pick up at verse 19.
Many
are the afflictions of the righteous. So not only do we are we crying and have troubles, but we have afflictions. But the Lord delivereth him. Again, we see deliverance.
Out of them all.
Out of them all. He's not selective. Verse 22. The Lord
redeemeth
the soul
of his
servants.
And none of them that
and
trust
none of them
that trust in him
shall be desolate. You know, I want us to realize that God deals with our redemption. He deals with our redemption. He has paid the price. If you are not among the redeemed, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you can obey it today. You can, having heard of his love and how he cares for us, having heard about Jesus Christ and what he has done to save us, you can continue your obedience in repentance. You can confess Jesus Christ as Lord and be baptized for the remission of your sins, because Jesus Christ died to redeem us. You can be named among the redeemed. No matter how wicked, no matter how sinful you think you are among, or you can become one of those that have been redeemed. You know, time is gone. You know, we will be inviting the brother to give us and lead us in a song of encouragement. What's the number? Psalm 61. So he's not going to the songbook. He's going to the psalm. That's a psalm of David. It was in the lesson. That will be your encouragement. Let us be standing as we sing Psalm 61. Psalm 61.